The power of the media is invaluable. There is so much that one exposure can do for you, especially when it's done from platforms that authentically speak to specific communities and cater to them. It adds a level of trust and transparency and allows people to feel as though they're represented and that these stories are personally selected for them.
Hi there, it's Sewa, and welcome to episode 32 of the She's Off Script podcast. This is a show where we hear and learn from women who've created unique blueprints for success. My hope is you'll hear their stories and translate their gems into a unique path for yourself. On today's episode, we hear from Lily Worknip, Levity News' first editor-in-chief. Lily is passionate about reporting on stories from underrepresented communities. She believes in the power of platforms like Levity to amplify the phenomenal work being done by Black millennials every day. If you think you have a story worth amplifying and would like to learn how to get the attention of editors like Lily, keep listening. And spoiler alert, Lily even shares the right email addresses to use in this episode. Before we dive into this week's episode, I would love it if you would subscribe to the show and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Believe it or not, this helps others who would enjoy our podcast and benefit from today's episode find us. With that, let's go off script with Blavity News' editor-in-chief, Lily Worknip. Lily Worknip, welcome to She's Off Script. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be chatting with you.
Well, we're excited to have you, especially since we haven't had a lot of guests who come to us from the media perspective. So, Lily, for anyone that's not familiar with you or Blavity, could you share who you are and what you do for Blavity?
Absolutely. So I'm Lily. I'm the editor-in-chief for Blavity News. Blavity Incorporated is a company that caters to the Black community and delivering news and information and experiences for them and to them. Mm-hmm. But Blavity News specifically is a national news website that caters to Black millennials and the broader Black community, where our goal is to inform, educate, empower, and inspire folks of color who live in the country and beyond, help to expose and amplify the narratives of those who may be underrepresented within our community and to celebrate the diversity among all of us.
Okay, so you were previously senior editor of HuffPost Black Voices, and then you've also worked for other media outlets, and now you find yourself as the first editor-in-chief for Blavity. Could you share how you were able to navigate your career to this point?
Yeah, well, where do I start? So, you know, I'll keep it a short story, but I'd always been interested in media and journalism, which for me, you know, it's always been a passion point for me because I'd always find myself to be a storyteller. I love telling stories, reading stories, receiving stories. Writing had always been a passion of mine since I was a child. And so I had always been interested in that. And for me, being from where I'm Ethiopian, was born in Ethiopia, grew up in England, actually, in Manchester, mm-hmm. moved to the States when I was 10 years old. And so being an immigrant and having that background, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes, a lot of expectations that are placed on the families of immigrants, right, that we are expected to go within certain fields, lawyer, doctor, engineer. And none of those ever appealed to me. And I'm lucky enough to be from a family and have parents who were supportive in everything that I wanted to do and didn't hold me to any boundaries or limits, and really just let me explore and do what I wanted. And so they encouraged me in my path to journalism. I started, you know, in high school, was the editor of the high school newspaper. I started my own column in high school called
Lily's
Wild Thoughts.
So was I. I was the editor of my high school newspaper.
You were too. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like endless experiences that came from that. And so I'm excited to have been a part of that, but also, you know, help to groom me and really get me acclimated into and understand more about journalism. Mm-hmm. So I have my own column in the high school newspaper, like write advice columns and tell stories, and really found my voice or developed my voice in high school. Further developed it in college. I went to University of Georgia and went to the Grady College of Journalism there and was a major in publication management, which is a very specific major, but publication management came with both editorial and business classes. Okay. So it allowed me to kind of get a mix of both. And so funny enough, I'm now managing a publication. So it came in handy.
Very, very specific choice and very specific application for you long term. That rarely happens.
It does. It's very rare that does happen. But the way things have unfolded in my life are inexplainable, and I can only leave it to destiny and God designing it the way as it, you know, the way it's unfolded. And so I'm just grateful for all the experiences I've had, and having had that in college, you know, learning those tools. I was also the editor-in-chief of a multicultural publication on the campus at the time called Infusion. It was the only multicultural publication magazine that catered to the diverse student body. Mm-hmm. And so I led a staff of about 70 people on that team, I did that. And so that also gave me great leadership experience, you know, talking about issues of race and identity for folks who were impacted by it most. And so really honed my skills there, did some really dope internships. I was very involved in NABJ, which is the National Association of Black Journalists. Mm. And really, you know, just got my feet and hands wet in everything, right? Mm. Trying to do as much as I could and with all that I could. And ended up taking internships in college that got me to New York post-college. And so I'd interned at CNN in Atlanta, I'd interned in Style Magazine. And when I graduated, you know, I wanted to leave Atlanta because it was a little too slow for me. And knowing I wanted to pursue a career in media, well, New York was really where I needed to be. And I'd always fell in love with New York. And I always had plans on moving there. So I just, 2 weeks after graduating, moved to New York, and I took an internship at People Magazine. Mm-hmm. Which to anyone fresh out of college is a glamorous job, right? Seems like a glamorous job. You're reporting and writing on celebrities and living in New York and going to all these cool events. And it was an amazing experience for me. I learned a lot, and I learned about what I like, and I learned a lot about what I didn't like, mm-hmm. right? Of reporting and how I want to spend my time and use my work and my voice. And I wasn't as fulfilled at the end of that year because I had started as an intern. They kept me on as a reporter. And I, you know, helped to write cover stories and go out and interview celebrities, and doing all of that was fun, sure, but it wasn't fulfilling. Right. And made a clear, you know, learned an important life lesson during that experience, which was, you know, as glamorous as things may seem like they are, you know, or as fun as they may look, they may not always be the best opportunity for you.
Right.
But it did help direct me or redirect me into the path that I did want to go down, which is really telling more hard news stories about the issues that I thought mattered to the people who needed to hear them. And so I left the People Magazine about a year later, and I went to The Griot, where The Griot was an associate editor for a year and a half, 2 years. I reported to Joy Reid. Joy Reid is now an MSNBC anchor, or NBC host, and she's phenomenal. And I was, you know, was grateful to have her as a guide and inspiration, you know, in my early 20s, just learning and working from her and with her. And so, yeah, did that for 2 years and learned a lot, did some TV hits, went on national TV, wrote a lot of articles, did some video interviews, because up until then I was very much a writer and reporter and mm-hmm. didn't like being in front of the camera as much, but then became more comfortable and confident in doing that and transitioned into a video and doing more video and doing some TV and then producing. And I did all of that for about 2 years. I was the only Black woman on staff towards the end of my time at The Griot. Once Joy had left and had her own show. And so, yeah, I did that and then left because there's things that had happened at The Griot where they were transitioning. And so I ended up leaving and going to HuffPost Black Voices. Mm-hmm. I started at a very interesting time because I started in November 2014. And this was 2 weeks prior to the non-indictment coming down in Mike Brown's killing. Mm. I knew I had a feeling that that would be the case. But planning and prepping for that, especially as the Black Voices editor, where essentially my role was to oversee all of the race and identity coverage, Black identity coverage at HuffPost, which is a mainstream publication, still is. And even though the team behind Black Voices isn't as robust as it used to be when I was there, it's still continuing on its mission. And so, you know, we really helped to define within those 4 years what stories were important, you know, documenting the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, telling the stories of police killings of Black men and women, boys and girls, and the stories that really needed to be amplified, the lives that needed to be respected, and writing stories, interviewing people, going out and actually doing, you know, meeting with folks, talking to them, amplifying them in any ways that we can, and knowing that we had a huge responsibility with this big platform to do that. And so, I did that for about 4 years, and that was a lot, right? A lot unfolded within that time, and there was just a lot of life lessons learned within that experience as well, in terms of what kinds of stories mattered, how to write about race in general, but also how to write about race for particular audiences.
So I'm curious, why is it so important to you to have a dedicated voice and platform for Black people? Some critics might say that there's plenty of opportunity for our stories to be covered within the mainstream media if we learn how to properly navigate it.
Yeah, I would say I don't think that's the case. I don't think that there is a plethora of our stories being told in mainstream media. And if there are, then that's showing us in our full humanity. If they're telling our stories, it's about our crimes and our deaths and our misgivings. And there's more to us than that. Yeah, right. It matters, but what my problem that I saw in mainstream media, and not necessarily from working at HuffPost, but just in general, was that there was an oversaturation of these kinds of negative stories that were coming out about Black folks and immigrants, Black immigrants, because often we forget about, Blackness being so broad and not through the specifically African-American experience, but also, folks who have migrated or immigrated here, as well as those who live abroad. Mm-hmm. So, there's the diaspora is widespread, and there's so much diversity and beauty among us that there wasn't, I thought, a platform that was really owning and telling those stories in a really great way outside of Blavity. And so when I was at HuffPost, Blavity was really the only place that I thought had potential to continue telling those stories, right? They're now in year five, going into year five, celebrating our fifth birthday in July. And, Blavity was really the place that honed that and really made, it was Black owned. It was all for us, by us. It felt more authentic. It's my own personal mission to tell stories of, marginalized voices in the mainstream, right? But really do it for a platform where it was all about us and by us. And so I had made those realizations while working at HuffPost that even though I was running the Black vertical and working and managing a team of Black news reporters and journalists, there were still, certain things I couldn't do because there were stipulations or red tape or certain obstacles put in place.
Right.
Challenges that are presented to you when you're in a newsroom where there are different opinions and different agendas. And so,
with Blavity, you're all on the same page, I can imagine.
Right, yes. I mean, at Black Voices, we were, yeah. And at Blavity, we absolutely am. I'm now, we are, I took all those experiences and learned a lot from them and grateful for them all, worked with great team members along the way and then came to Blavity in December 2017. And, since then, it's been about a year and a half now, and we have done, my main goal is really to help produce more news stories, more quality news stories on what's happening in our day-to-day, what are the things that we should know about, what are the people, who are the people that are making the decisions that are impacting us on the daily, right, in different places and states, what are the policies being presented. Also, what is the latest Twitter conversation that's happening?
Right.
Like, what's the latest meme and what, how many times has that been applied in different ways, and just laughing at certain things, educating on most things, but regardless, it really is to help people feel seen and represented in a really fresh and authentic way. And we have a long way to go, but I think we've done a lot so far in the last year. We have a pretty robust news team, and so I have reporters and writers across the states. I have, deputy editors. We have a design team who is really great at creating, that's really great at creating creative design and visual assets for our stories through animation, through visual, whatever tools that they use.
And I think you guys are able to present the news in a way that speaks to us at our level. Nothing is too cut and dry or too serious. So being that you're the first editor-in-chief that Blavity has had, it's really an amazing position to be in, partly because you don't have any old shoes to fill, right?
Right.
But I have to imagine it's daunting to be the first. So how are you approaching that role?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I rarely think about being the first. I just think about the role that I have to do and the responsibilities that are afforded to me and that I take very seriously. And knowing that we have this big platform, we could be telling all kinds of stories, but we have to do it responsibly. And using it responsibly for me means telling the stories, not the gossip stories. I don't really care for too much celebrity news. I don't care for anything that dehumanizes any part of our existence or any part of are the ways people identify, and challenging people, holding them accountable, because there's a lot of anti-blackness even within our own community. There's a lot of there's naturally a lot of discourse and discussion around different topics, as there should be, but I want Blavity to be a place to advance those conversations and also show the humanity of people to help, you know, remove some of the hatred that we have. You know, there's a lot of homophobia still within the Black community. What are we doing to help amplify, you know, the existence of the LGBT community, Black queer folks, and how to show that their lives matter? You know, we can't say all Black lives matter, but some, except for some.
Right, exactly.
And so it's consciously trying to make sure to keep aware of all of that, because it's impossible to do it alone, right? So I have a team, and I work with a team, very selective about who we work with and how we work with them, because, you know, all opinions and ideas are always welcome. Mm-hmm. Just making sure that people are also, you know, come from diverse backgrounds and are able to bring something unique to the table, and have a willingness to learn and are really hungry. Because we work with a lot of really great young journalists who come to Blavity as their first place of work out of school, work with us for a few months or a year, and then move on because they've gotten a full-time job elsewhere, which is great, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. Great to see the growth of folks who work with us.
Speaking of people who make transitions, some of our listeners decide that they want to go off script a little bit later on in life and try something new. So what advice would you have for people who want to break into journalism after being on a different career path for years? How do you suggest they break into the field?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, well, first, I always advocate for doing what you think makes you most happy, right? Mm-hmm. I always advocate for folks, if you are late career or just starting out and you don't like what you're doing, do what you love. You only have your own life to live. No one should be dictating that for you. You should have happiness on your own terms and then try to do your best to achieve it. And so that said, you know, if journalism is something that you want to pursue, I encourage everyone to write, right? If there's many aspects to journalism, you can go through photojournalism, you could do video journalism. If it is the written work that inspires you, then you have to sort of develop your own writing style and voice. And I would encourage you first, before you write, to read, right? To identify your top journalists and people you admire. Read authors and how they present stories, and just familiarize yourself with the different ways stories can be told. From there, once you've identified what it is that inspires you most, or the medium that you are most attracted to, it's a matter of practicing, right? Constantly trying and taking photos or asking a friend who may have skills to do that. If it's reporting and writing, it's really writing and reporting your own pieces. On Blavity, we have our own op-ed platform that's open to anyone who wants to create an account. So you can create an account with us by clicking the Write a Story button on the homepage. Create an account with us and submit any op-eds that you'd like to share with us. If it's something that you have as a response to a recent news story or a think piece, or, you know, I like to call them more like, you know, exposés or personal takes, or again, op-eds, editorials. If there's something you want to respond to, I encourage everyone to create an account, submit it with us. We have editors who will review them, help package it with a really strong headline and image, and bring visibility to your voice that way, to your pieces that way, you know, and that way you also have published links somewhere.
Wow, that's an amazing way to let people break into the industry while also contributing to the platform.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a good way for people who don't know where else to go and are looking for a place to be published, come to us to be a place where, you know, safe space where they can share their thoughts and help hold, you know, other folks accountable. If it's something around, you know, financial literacy, what you need to know about financial literacy. Maybe that might be your background. You may be an expert in that. Share your knowledge and write about it if you want to become, you know, do more writing. Write about what you know. Write about what you like. Write about what you have thoughts about, what you want to respond to. And so just constantly, like, again, there's so much content out there these days that it's hard to sift through. So I do encourage everyone to sort of, you know, identify your favorite platforms and people, follow them closely, and glean from them as much as you can, you know, and then do your own work and put in your own practice to enhance your own skills.
So you've said you're passionate about reporting on underrepresented issues. So how would you suggest our listeners who think they have newsworthy angles to their startups, how would you suggest they go about getting the attention of an editor like yourself or a reporter in general when they're ready to get coverage on their project?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a lot. So Blavity News really focuses on pop culture, politics, culture at large. So dancers, creatives, poets, and just the general news. But if you run a startup, there are several other brands within the Blavity Inc. umbrella. So I'll just kind of quickly touch on them. There's Afrotech, which is all about Black tech and business news. And so anything about, entrepreneurship or launching your own business, starting your own business, if you secured a really great round of funding, if you, you know, have particular lessons that you've learned that you'd like to share about business related topics, then Afrotech would be the best platform for that. And, it was just afrotech@blavity.com if you wanted to reach them. Or blavityteam@blavity.com. And so those are email addresses you can reach out to with ideas and suggestions, and you can expect it to go to the right person. So Afrotech is one platform. Our another big platform for us is 2190. And so it was the number 21 and the word 90 spelled out. But 2190 is our platform for women of color who about wellness, about business, about their own startups, specifically catered to women of color and in their lives and their overall success. And so a lot of people don't know why it's called 2190. It's called that because it takes 21 days to build a habit, right? And 90 days to fully embed that habit into your lifestyle. So we're very intentional about the platforms that we've built. And 2190 also comes with a summit. So there's a summit that we're hosting this June in Atlanta, June 7th and 8th. Mm-hmm. I want to invite all women, especially if they're in Atlanta, to come to. But that's also a great place for you to meet other like-minded women, you know, connect with other young, dope creators, entrepreneurs, women of color who across different fields, and learn from different folks. Because we also have a great line of speakers. We have Valerie Jarrett. So I'll be there hosting the chat with Valerie Jarrett on the main.
Oh, great.
And Valerie's phenomenal. She was just in the Blavity office a few weeks ago talking about, you know, finding her voice, which is the title of her book, but also leading as a Black woman, leading as a woman of color. What is it like, you know, especially being the advisor to the former president? Like, what is that, you know, what were the lessons that she's learned? What can she distill? What can she share with the rest of the women in the room? She's going to be there. Miss Tina Lawson is going to be there.
Nice.
Miss Tina herself, which is so exciting, and she is a well of wisdom herself, and obviously she's birthed two of the biggest queens that say the most fabulous that
especially coming off of Homecoming with Beyonce, so very relevant.
Exactly. I mean, she knows so much, she's done so much, so she'll be there. Karrueche Tran will also be there. We have a dope, exciting lineup, and so I definitely want to have people try to come to that, because we also have a pitch competition there. And so that would be great for folks who, you know, we're accepting submissions now, but if folks submit pitches at the competition at the summit, they'll be able to do that to a panel of judges, one of whom will be Morgan herself, Morgan DeBond.
Nice.
So, and there's a prize that comes with that. And so it's a great way for women to share their own experiences, pitch their startups for a round of, you know, for a chance to win.
So I'm curious, what do you as an editor specifically respond to when people are pitching you with ideas? Mm-hmm. And I think in general, who are the gatekeepers within the media landscape that we need to familiarize ourselves with?
Good question. As far as, pitching to Blavity, again, if you haven't pitched, send it to blavityteam@blavity.com. But the pitches that we are looking for are really trying to, the stories that highlight the hard work of young Black folks, right? And that can mean many of things. It's what are the stories that ultimately make us happy? What can we do to help make Black people feel happy? And so that might be through an inspiring story about this, you know, about a 17-year-old high school student who just got accepted into 17 colleges, you know? That might inspire somebody to tell that story from a first person or report on that person and the trials and tribulations they went through. It could be somebody launching their own business. It could be, you know, somebody breaking down stereotypes or finding an alternative way to do something you've always done. There's endless well of creativity. There's so much that we are able to provide and that we create. You know, there's so many artists and painters and photographers. There are so many business leaders, thinkers, innovators. And so it's really about trying to identify the people and the people and the projects that they're working on. And the more compelling and the more that it inspires or educates or informs Black folks, the more we want to cover that. And also things that go against the grain, right? Like we're talking to folks who, like the Black Surfers Collective, like, yes, Black Surfers exist. Let's tell that story. Actually, let's do a video on that. You know, we're here in LA. We did a lot around Nipsey and his killing, right?
Yep.
Hard, especially hard. You know, how are we carrying on his legacy? What can we do to help support the LA community in light of his passing? Businesses that he frequented, and how can we help continue to provide support to those Black-owned businesses? And so it runs a gamut. We also do events, right? So we're not only just a digital platform. We do try to meet people IRL, right? And host conferences with thousands of people multiple times a year to provide those opportunities, right? And we're now also starting to do smaller happy hours and just meetups in different cities so people can meet with the team and connect with us, share ideas. But I'm always looking for feedback from people, you know, share your thoughts on where you think Blavity is, ideas you have for stories, feedback on how we could do better. I'm always looking for that, right? Because we may think we're doing a great job, but there's so much more we could be doing and want to be doing. So feedback is helpful in prioritizing that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot in the works, but ultimately across the five different brands that we own, like I mentioned two earlier, there's Afrotech and 2190, there's Blavity News, that's three. The fourth one is Travel Noir, which is all about Black travel expat experience. And then there's Shadow and Act. And Shadow and Act is phenomenal because it owns sort of the Black film and TV space, right? There's no real website, I think, covers the breadth of the projects that are being released on film, TV, Broadway, and through web series. And so we're trying to support creatives who are doing the work there as well.
In your experience, have you seen any entrepreneurs or people who are looking to grow their personal brands successfully leverage media in order to grow their reach and influence? And how have they done that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the power of media is invaluable. There is so much that one, you know, exposure can do for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
One story, one published link, it not only shows that it's worthy of a story that's worthy of being told, but also it's worthy of being read and supported, right? And so that means to me that there's ways that we can tell stories to help bring more attention to Kickstarters, right? And fundraising. Mm-hmm. There's ways we can tell stories to help just boost the overall profile of a business or inspire folks. But they might, you know, so people may get third-party opportunities from reading a story and say, oh, I read this story once about so-and-so doing this. Let me reach back out to them or reach out to them because I found a story on Blavity or on 2190, wherever it may be. So the opportunities are endless. I know several people who have benefited from having stories told about them personally or their experiences or the business that they've launched. You know, we had one person come in last week to do a video interview with us and was telling us about how media coverage had really helped promote their business naturally, organically, right? They built a wellness center out in Brooklyn for creatives of color to really go to have therapy and a cafe, part therapy, part cafe. And you know, they had a small time a blog really write about their story and really helped to boost their profile exponentially. And so, you know, I think things like that, especially when it's done on platforms that authentically speak to specific communities and cater to them, it adds a level of trust and transparency, and you know, it allows people to feel as though they're represented and that these stories are personally selected for them. And so we hope that people feel that way, that's the goal, and for them to really have a deeper connection to not only the stories but the people behind them, right? Raising awareness around the things that they need to know about, as well as us educating people on the issues they need to know about. And so kind of set the agenda in terms of, you know, of the topics and information that should be shared, but also continuing to support the people who deserve it.
And I appreciate that. And I also appreciate you being open to receiving feedback from your readership as well. So for anyone whose interest has been piqued about Blavity and your role in Blavity, where can they follow you after this interview?
Amazing. Yes. I'm always looking for feedback, you know, words of encouragement, advice, whatever it may be. So please, if you can, feel free to DM me and myself personally. I'm at Lily_Works. That's LILLY_WORKS. And so, yes, please DM me. I'm also the same handle on Twitter, so please tweet me or DM me there. And email, I'm happy also to give my email for any just potential pitches, but it's just lily@blavity.com.
Lily, thank you so much for spending time with us. I see the background there in beautiful LA. It's all sunny.
It
is not sunny here in Dallas. I'm sure you can hear the thunder rumbling behind
me.
I
can't, but I don't know. Whenever you're back here, let us know. I'm always looking to link up with people in LA.
Oh, definitely will. Well, it was great chatting. Thank you so much, Lily.
Thank you so much. All the best.
I'm so glad you made it to the end of today's episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and write us a review. As always, don't forget to share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, anyone who cares to listen. We'll talk to you next time.